Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father God of heaven, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We recognize we didn't make ourselves. Every day, every night, we walk, talk, and breathe, not on our own accord. We come saying thank you for today. Thank you for the blessings. We ask that you will be glorified in our actions, and we continue to bring forth what's good, what's righteous, be something more than just space takers. Thank you for the ability to speak, and we pray that it be edifying to everybody. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth we pray. Amen. So, thank y'all for joining us here at the Dallas Central Library. I will be your host, Rashad Anthony Dickerson. The reason we got together to perpetuate humility between all individuals from all walks of life. With me, I have Miss Jasmine Afrikawala. I also have some other colleagues of hers, but she will be introducing me, and we're going to jump off into some just good conversation about what it means to be an individual who is homeless on the streets of Dallas. Jasmine?
Thank you, Rashad. That was beautiful. That was amazing. And, you know, before this, we were all laughing and giggling, and I think it's just a testament to who you are that as soon as we start recording, you jump on and say something so freakishly eloquent. And it just reminds me of why you're the perfect person to be a voice for the homeless community and definitely a colleague of ours. And you definitely earn respect, I'm sure, everywhere you go, and definitely from us in the library. But I'm just excited to have you here and to be able to talk to you and hopefully to get other people to hear your voice.
Question.
Sure.
Why do a podcast? Give me a good reason why we should do a podcast.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about just the people's history, and I was thinking about how throughout time there's so many people who never had a voice, and I thought, this is the 21st century. We don't have to get somebody to pick it up. We don't have to get somebody to want to share, a person's voice. We have the technology these days and the outlets to be able to provide that voice for a community, for the library, for the homeless. And there's no reason not to try. It doesn't hurt, and it's free for the most part, other than our valuable time and your valuable time.
Okay. So why me? I'm not from Dallas. I'm not a native.
Well, you are a native to our library.
Yeah.
I know I've probably said this before, but, the downtown library has a lot of customers who are experiencing homelessness. And you were the first one I sat down and had a 3-hour long conversation with. So, you definitely have a way with words and you have a passion for the library. I don't know if you remember the first time we met.
Ooh, yes, I do. I want to explain to the listeners what really happened in order for me and Jasmine to get together, and which led to the dream you guys are actually listening to. This is a dream of mine. We met by proxy. I saw a number here at the library, and I called the number about GED testing. And she asked me, she said, well, what company do you work for? I'm like, oh, I'm just a homeless guy that's passing out resources. She's shocked and amazed, like, really? I don't know, maybe some of her past experiences with the homeless have not been so
No, you sounded like a social worker calling me. I honestly had no, it was over the phone. So I, you know, there's obviously no bias there in my defense. you just spoke so eloquently and you still do. So
question.
Yes.
If you had saw me and if you had known my circumstances, would you have had that meeting with me?
Absolutely. I mean, if anything, that was that made you way more interesting than a social worker. I was like, wait, what's going on? Sure. I mean, that's why immediately after finding that out, I said, you know, I've been meaning to talk to somebody who's resourceful in the homeless community, who knows about the homeless community. I want to pick your brain. I want to know, you know, your perspective. And I was lucky enough to have you ready with notes and printouts and everything just a couple of hours later.
Yeah.
And
so tell me about the book you got there about homelessness.
Well, it's interesting because I would say that my first research into any of this was our conversation together. Mm-hmm. And we kind of jumped in as the library into some other activities and other programs and things like that. And honestly, I didn't start really looking at printed research or published research on homelessness until well into our initiative. But one of the books I picked up is called At Home on the Street, mm-hmm. People, Poverty, and a Hidden Culture of Homelessness. It's written by two professors and the title of it actually really called out to me because in my observations of our customers, I thought, you know, we've been looking at this all wrong. I think we tend to look at people with, you know, pity or sympathy or disgust, and we don't see it as a valid group of people.
Okay.
That the homeless themselves, they have their own culture. So when I saw this title, I thought, oh, wow, these are some sociologists who are acknowledging that the homeless community has a culture of its own. Mm-hmm. And what I found as I was reading it was that it really focused on street homelessness, those living in encampments, those who are service adverse, who aren't staying at shelters. Mm-hmm. And the truth is the downtown library has a lot of those customers who are not staying in shelters. Yes, we're in close proximity to those shelters, so we do get some from them. But a lot of our customers you know, are walking to the library from some of their encampments under bridges, and they're here and they're socializing with each other. They're socializing with us. They're using our resources. And so it's really interesting. I think it's a different perspective.
You mentioned a bridge. I was told you guys, and I have experience staying at this shelter. This is like one of the number one shelters in Dallas. The bridge. How do you feel about the people, the difference between the people who stay at personalized shelters or standardized shelters like the bridge? Is there a difference in culture with those in comparison to those who are staying under the bridge rather than at it?
The first thing I would say is that if anything, I've learned that the homeless community is as diverse as the rest of the world.
Yes.
It's a very diverse community. But with that being said, some of my observations and some of what I've read, particularly in this book, is that there's sort of a dichotomy of introvert versus extrovert.
What do you mean?
So from this book and even from our own observations, a lot of our customers can get rowdy. They have opinions. They have really strong personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And those traits aren't always conducive to shelter environments. So the shelters, you know, tend to have a lot of security, a lot of rules. And so for some personality types and for some people who maybe value their own freedom, they
Right.
value their own independence, they want to make their own rules,
Set their
damn
own boundaries.
The man kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that they tend to be less amicable to the shelter environment. But with that being said, I've known others who have similar personality traits with, you know, outgoing, lots of opinions, like the one I'm talking to you right now. And I know you stayed at the bridge for a very long time. So that's why I say it's a really diverse community. And I think that, you know, maybe some people living on the streets have tried the shelters before. Maybe that didn't work out. Maybe they've never tried them, you know, and for a lot of our customers, they've been homeless for a very long time. A lot of them.
Well, I mean, I need two things from you right
okay.
quick. Okay. So we having this conversation and I don't know if we identify. I'm a homeless guy. I know we're talking about it. You said it continuously. But what is your role? I noticed that you're speaking about a lot of different observations you've had, but what is your role here at the Dallas Central Library?
Good question. Yeah, I have a lot of personal opinions on things, but in terms of the library, my position is community engagement administrator.
What?
Yeah, thank you. what that basically means is that, you know, I focus on our community partnerships. I focus on really developing programs and services to meet some of our high needs customer bases. And whether that's the illiterate, whether that's the those who can't speak English, whether that's people who are seeking out their GED, like your initial reason for even contacting me.
Yes, ma'am.
Or that might be, you know, those living in extreme poverty. And I've definitely come to feel that homelessness is more in line with extreme poverty than it is sort of with people's stereotypes of homelessness.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Do other libraries experience what you guys are going through here?
Yeah. So it's one of those things I feel like, you know, you go to these library conferences and, you know, there's conference titles on, I'm not a social worker, I'm a librarian. and so, yeah, predominantly the urban libraries. So a lot of your main libraries throughout the nation, almost every single one of them have a large population of the homeless using their library. I think that, you know, initially there's sort of this, they want to just pretend that it's not there. They want to ignore it. Some libraries have, in recent years, have been doing a lot of great things. In San Francisco, they've hired a social worker, you know, full time to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, and other libraries are trying different ways to approach, the issue. And I think what we're doing is a little different because I think we're kind of embracing the issue.
Really?
As opposed to addressing it.
So can we talk about, let's talk about AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps has been stationed now at the library as a result of our conversation. So what exactly, you say you guys are embracing it, in what way are you using AmeriCorps, and what's the affiliation between AmeriCorps and the Dallas Central Library?
Well, we're a public library, which means we're open to everyone and anyone, which is a beautiful thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also, you know, mostly staffed with librarians who aren't always the best at relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, we were able to hire two AmeriCorps members through City Square. And City Square is an agency in Dallas that does focus on health, housing, homelessness, things like that. And they have an AmeriCorps program. And so we brought in two AmeriCorps members, which from the library perspective, they're more affordable than hiring two full-time staff.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal was initially, let's just get to know our customers. Our staff complained they didn't have time to spend to get to know our customers the way that we felt was needed in order to really build strong relationships with them.
Yes, ma'am.
And our AmeriCorps members then could spend their 20 hours a week wholly and totally spending it getting to know our customers, literally just hanging out with our customers, getting to know their names, getting to know who they are, really get to know them on a person-to-person level. And they've been really great at that.
That's a very good skill, interpersonal relationships. I'm very, very intrigued with that. I noticed you named a lot of different, or we've named a lot of different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of them in Dallas. I mean, you think about it, Uncle Sam's paying a pretty penny out here to assist in some sort. I mean, just to name a few, I graduated from City Square's Build for Success program. I'm familiar with Our Calling, which is almost like a homeless cafe. The Stew Pot. I mean, Dallas is really, really immense and rich in resources for helping individuals. But is that enough? I mean, is there really a solution to homelessness?
That's a great question, and I think I can't answer that. But what I do think is that if we're going to get closer to a solution, we have to invite the voice of the homeless into that conversation. And I'm not sure how much of that is really happening. I think you're right. We have a lot of agencies. There's a lot of money coming into Dallas for housing and for these services to get people out of homelessness. But I think there's still very little understanding about the condition, about the culture, about those circumstances. And so, you know, that's part of what this podcast is going to be as well, is we're hoping to bring out some people representing some of these agencies in Dallas so that we can get a better idea of what their goals are and what they've accomplished and where they see the solution to homelessness being, and if they see that insight, and hopefully get some of our regular homeless customers in here too, talking with them and having that open dialogue between those who are aiming to help the homeless and those who are homeless. I know one of the big things from our perspective was not assuming that we knew what our customers needed. We recently did a homeless engagement survey for library use here at the library because I think a lot of times we assume we know what people need from us, you know, and we wanted to make sure that we were being really thoughtful about anything we started to do here at the library beyond just getting to know our customers. We want to know what they want to use the library for and what they would like us to do.
Yes, ma'am.
For them at the library.
I mean, there's that almost like a stigma there with the library, because it's like you think of the library, you almost think of church. It's like, if I go in, do I raise my finger in order to pass where I'm going? Or, you know, you think of a certain solitude that comes along with the library. But what I'm hearing from you is the public has an opinion, and that opinion can be heard here at the library. And this is evident with the show we're doing at the moment. How does that make you feel? I mean,
well, I think the library's gotten a pretty bad rap for being sort of a shelter. I think a lot of people in the community, you'll go into online forums and there's comments about, oh, can't go to that downtown library. It's just full of homeless people. And
wow.
And I think not only is it just offensive, but the reality is it's true. We do have a lot of homeless customers at our library. What's not true is that that's a bad thing.
Yes.
I think that what's true is that we are a place of social inclusion. We are a public place. We're a place that's safe as well. It's a safe environment for diversity. And if somebody has a problem with being around people who don't look like them and who aren't like them, then that's their problem. If they want to take the opportunity to get to know other kinds of people,
yes,
then the library becomes a really ideal and safe place to do that.
That's a very humbling thing you just spoken of. I've heard a lot about this. I've heard a lot about that. I keep trying to, like, prompt this. But I keep hearing the word homeless. Homeless, homeless, homeless. There's almost a stigma to that word. There's a certain characteristic. Is the homeless guy to you, somebody who experiences it, or anybody else, is the homeless guy just the old white guy with the long beard, with the scully on, and a hole in one pocket with a patch on it? Is there some kind of stigma there that a homeless person should be accepting of as a person who's really just another individual in society who does not have the necessary amenities?
Well, and I just want to say I hate the word homeless. I really do. If it weren't sort of the quickest way to convey what I'm trying to communicate, I wouldn't use it. But I really do dislike that word. Mm-hmm. And actually, it surprised me in talking with some of our customers that's not always the word they even use themselves. So
tramps.
Tell me more. When I first heard that, I thought, like, Lady and the Tramp? Like, what are you talking about? Or, like, you know, of course, there's other meanings to that word as well. And I thought, well, so tell me a little bit. I know. So tell me a little bit about, you know, sort of how you guys sort of refer to each other or refer to yourself, and why you use certain words versus other words.
I mean, you have to understand, and this is the whole point of the podcast in a sense for me, is that we who are homeless. We are not different. We just don't have a house. That's the only thing. And so some of us refer to ourselves in different ways, in different manners. We've all been trained or brought up in different ways. Our mentalities are different, just like every individual who's an individual. Some of us call ourselves the executive tramp, like my boy Shorty. I know he's cool with me throwing him out there. Some of us call ourselves vagabonds. What I've noticed amongst the homeless is they feel separated. They feel isolated. We feel isolated from time to time. And what's crazy is I guess I'm standing here on the show being able to say I can look on both sides. It's almost like the allegory of the cave. And so they feel, you know, you're outsiders, or they're outsiders, almost like outcasts of society. And we sometimes treat that way. But I think right here, right now, we're forming a friendship and a relationship that will defeat the stigma at all costs. That's the whole intent of the show. It sucks because a lot of the individuals who are homeless or are, period, just people in general, are accustomed to a mentality that has not been accurate in order for success as a person. So that's where we find ourselves. This is where I find myself. I found myself in peer groups and speaking of things that were beneficial, like scheduling and goal setting. I found myself in these different places or in these different settings in which individuals do have the same thing, thoughts, emotions, and feelings. It's just the way we handle them and we convey them. And so this is not just the podcast for the homeless man. This is not just the podcast for the librarian. This is a podcast for the people.